So our text for this morning's meditation is from our epistle reading, Ephesians 3:16, these words, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we just need to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture. We need to see the bigger picture when it comes to how God, our loving Heavenly Father, is working in our lives, in each and every one of our lives, from day to day to day to day. That is, we need to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and depth of that love, the love of our Heavenly Father, that heavenly love. But it can be for us very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. The widow of Zarephath? Sure, she was being provided for miraculously since taking in the prophet Elijah, but then her son dies. Her son dies, and what can that mean but that God, her heavenly Father, was finally paying her back for her sins? Her sins? We don't know what they were. But that's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do. When something horrible, something unfathomable, something hurtful happens to us, for so often, what is the case when such a thing happens, but that we begin to think about what we have done in the past to deserve such a thing happening specifically to us, and we usually can find it. The widow of Nain. Not only had her husband died, but then her son, her only son, her source of income, her daily security, her home health aid, her meals on wheels. That is everything she needed to live until she died, but then the unthinkable, he died. Her son, her only son. Why? Why didn't God care about her and how she was going to live? And what about the sufferings of the Apostle Paul? Yes, we know that he was in prison, and from that prison in Rome, he sent letters to the congregations which he had founded or visited at one point or another. But why? Why even the imprisonment? For the question is obvious, isn't it? If Paul had it right, if the Christ that he preached was indeed the Messiah of the Jews, the very Son of God, if what Paul taught and had spread throughout the Roman Empire was the truth about sin and death and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, the resurrection from the dead through faith in Jesus Christ, if Paul had it right while everyone else in the world had it wrong, why was he in prison? Why was Paul in prison? Paul was a living God's representative here on earth, a true son of a loving heavenly Father. Why had God allowed Paul to be arrested and imprisoned? Where was the power of God? Where was the strength of his might? Where was the full and convincing evidence that the gospel of Jesus Christ was indeed the power of God for salvation to everyone who believed? Paul's answer? The Holy Spirit's response. Our text. The problem was not Paul's imprisonment or the death of the son of the widow of Nain or the death of the son of the widow of Zarephath. The problem was not these earthly events in the lives of the children of God, but our lack of ability in Christ by the Holy Spirit to understand them. That's the problem, our understanding. For our tendency is, after all, to be narrowly focused, myopic, fixated, obsessed, even with what is right in front of us in the here and now, the moment, And that being so spiritually, we can be like those kids we see rocking around Home Depot with their parents, oblivious to everything around them as their heads are buried in their handheld gaming devices. Noted before my troubles my sophomore year in college when I relocated from the Great Plains of Nebraska and even Colorado to Michigan. Going on a fall tour with the choir there from the college, driving up and down the roads of Lower Michigan, being able to see nothing, only trees. Right off the road, that's all you can see is trees. I found myself miserable. Why was that, I thought. Well, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't look out to the horizon. I could not see the massive canopy of the sky overhead. I couldn't see the road stretching out for miles in front of me. And so I had no clue as to where I was and where I was going. Couldn't see the bigger picture, as you can all day long as you drive across the Great Plains and into the West. Now, conversely, if you didn't grow up on the Great Plains and instead spent your childhood in the forests of Michigan or Wisconsin or even Minnesota, the Great Plains of the United States are a vast expanse of nothing, of total exposure, of being a blip on the face of the earth, driving down a road that seems to stretch out forever in front of you. How uncomfortable, how disconcerting, how intimidating. Well, for man apart from Christ, that certainly can be the case. Why should we live that way? Seeing the big picture, thinking the big picture. Why think about life? Why think about death? Why think about what happens after death? Or why we even came into existence in the first place? These are big, huge philosophical questions of great expanse. So uncomfortable they are. So let's just focus on what's in front of us. The here, the now, the moment, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. Let's be content within the forest of our lives where not much can be seen beyond ourselves. But such an attitude, such an approach to life, such a fixation upon ourselves only works for so long until we must come to face to face with the big questions, like that of death, or an unjust death even, or a facing of death with something like cancer. Holy Spirit's answer. Not a running, not a hiding, not a living in denial, but strength. That's the Holy Spirit's answer. Strength to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height and depth of the love of God for us, expressed in ways which for us are simply incomprehensible. For that love of God for us in its breadth and length and height and depth was expressed even before we were conceived in our loving Heavenly Father's foreknowledge for coming into existence. It was further expressed in our actual coming into existence, into a world which He created for us. And it continued this expansive love for us by our Heavenly Father and our families and friends and gifts and talents, opportunities, security and sustenance, and even then in our troubles and trials and tragedies. Yes, in our sufferings and losses and struggles and setbacks, our loving Heavenly Father was also working. Working in such a profound way, working in such a hidden way, which we can only grasp so often through faith. I think here of the death of my oldest brother, Mark, at the age of 36 from complications of diabetes. Will I ever not be affected and informed and shaped by his death? Even though it happened some 27 years ago now. Sometimes it seems like it just happened yesterday. And I've thought about it, and I've lived in it now for almost three decades. It's almost beyond my knowledge as to how it will continue to inform me and shape me and mold me, but that is ultimately the extent of the love of God for me. The love of God, which does indeed surpass our knowledge, that is how God through Christ has worked. and is working and will continue to work within our lives, not only with joys, but also with sorrows. It's just too much for us to grasp. So the wonder of the psalmist, Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now that is how we should look at our situation. That is that what we don't know about how God, our loving Heavenly Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, is working in our lives is not mysterious, it's not troublesome, it's not problematic, but it's wonderful. Too wonderful for us to attain, too high above us for us to comprehend. But it is the Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit, who gives us this attitude, this understanding, this viewpoint of our existence. That the things of God that we cannot understand are simply too wonderful for us to grasp. We need, of course, to look no further than the crucifixion of the Son of God for us to see just such a situation. When I behold Jesus Christ, true God, who died for me, so we sing in the Easter hymn, I wonder much at his love as he hung on the tree. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Well, it's a love that surpasses knowledge. That is a love that cannot be understood by the world. That the Father would sacrifice His Son for us, that the Son would willingly be sacrificed for us, that the Spirit would bring to us the benefit of that sacrifice, the forgiveness of sin. Of our sins, all of our sins, every last one of them, even those that are buried deep in our minds and come back up to the surface when something bad happens to us. The Spirit will bring it to us the benefit of that sacrifice through the Word, creating faith in our hearts so that we need not live myopic, self-centered, narcissistic lives with no awareness of where we are from, where we are, and where we are going. Now, the son of the widow of Zarephath, raised from the dead. So was the son of the widow of Nain, raised from the dead. And so will we be, raised from the dead. So will all flesh be raised from the dead. And those who are in Christ will remain with Christ forever in heavenly glory that, as the old spiritual puts it, outshines the sun. So, the troubling problem for us is our ignorance. Our ignorance that can only be overcome by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, bringing to us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to dwell in our hearts, not so that we are enlightened with knowledge that we never had before, but enlightened so that we believe and confess that there is knowledge that we do not have, and we're okay with that. Is that living in ignorance? No. It's living with the certainty that the context of our lives, of God working in our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, is much, much, much greater than we can comprehend. Just can't comprehend it. You know, overwhelming can be a drive. Overwhelming can be a drive through the Great Plains where the distant horizon presents itself in one way, but the reality of it isn't realized until we actually get to that horizon. Sometimes it can take hours. I know, for example, that I could see Long's Peak in Colorado way before I even hit Cheyenne, Wyoming, and it would still be quite some time before I made it home. I'd take a left at Cheyenne. I-80 to Cheyenne and take a left. And it would still be quite some time before I made it home, but the closer I got to home, the more defined that mountain became, the mountain I could see out our front window at home. Holy Spirit is given to us. Christ comes and dwells within us so that daily we can see our lives within the context of the future reality of the holy mountain, heaven, which from day to day to day can seem like something quite in the distance, but the knowledge which is ours in Christ is our yearning to look forward and to see its outline ever so faintly as we get ever closer and closer to us. Now, living in that way, we are living, truly living, in the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of God for each and every one of us. Immediately around us might not be that easy to understand. Can't understand one moment to the next that who we are and where we are and where we're going most definitely is. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.